A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
How did you meet each other?
We knew each other when we were kids, just hanging out in different...
You grew up in the same neighborhood.
Crew. Well, I hung out in his neighborhood.
Were you on Kenmare or Kenmare?
We were on Kenmare.
I was on...
Scorsese.
Prince and, Elizabeth and, Spring Street. So basically, he's the only one over the years that, in a sense, knows where I came from and whom I knew and knows that world. And that led to the pictures we made.
The Irishman in Conversation. Al Pacino.
How long was it before you got together with this for The Irishman? Casino?
Casino was 22 years. You too.
Joe Pesci bows his head. Robert De Niro.
I remember how impressed I was, how seriously you took it, because you wrote a long treatment.
Yeah.
But this, I heard you paint houses. That is an amazing book. I mean,
you mentioned it to me first up at your...
Joe Pesci.
Your place up in New York.
I gave it upstate when we were upstate. Talking.
We were talking, and you said, we're going to do this movie. And we, so but I read the book a long time ago.
You had read it?
The guy brought it to me on the golf course.
That's interesting.
And the guy even told me that. He said, you guys are going to make this movie someday. Mm-hmm. I said, wow. Yeah, good, okay, bye. And then it came, no,
well,
it
I thought the same thing, too, in a way. That wasn't really the original intent of us getting back together and working together. But that's where it eventually, by process of elimination and interest...
What's so interesting is that this is different in the sense that it's real.
Mm-hmm.
It's about our world, our America.
It happens to play out in the context of organized crime. And that's what, but that's just the context. It's really a picture that ultimately... As we grew older, we're able to look at this world, this context, and these characters with the humanity of people who are together, close, loyal to each other, love each other, and then there has to be a betrayal.
A clip.
I know how you feel, Frank. Trust me, I know how you feel. I told you before, we tried everything to help him. You know that. You tried. He brought this on himself.
It just seemed to fall into place for our age.
Yeah.
It was strange. And so the whole picture is more intimate and personal. It's got a big canvas, but it stays with the three guys. And what they have.
Reflection of the times.
It's like having this grace to be able to make this film because it seemed to fit perfectly with the characters. You know, we didn't even really have to talk much about these characters.
Yeah. Especially when Al and I had some scenes together.
Yeah.
That I had read, I said, oh, God.
No, I don't.
I hope he doesn't start blowing up at me the way I know Al can blow up, because then what am I supposed to do? Am I going to blow up back? And and he said to me, you don't blow up at all in the scene. And I said, great, as long as he doesn't blow up at me.
No, it's out there.
It's out there. You put it, guys, I mean, you tell him, blah, blah, blah. It's like that. It wasn't directed at me. Remember, you said, should we do an ad-lib thing? I said, I'll do whatever you want. I said, but I think he wants you to blow up a little bit.
I can't help but think, I'm sorry, but is there another reason or something?
I mean, this is my union. What do you mean, another reason? This is my union.
It's a reflective film. It's a film of an older... It's like a chamber piece in a way. It's got the action and everything else. It's got the scale. Mm-hmm. Yet it all should go on the rhythm of, in a sense, the way we think now, where we look back on time. And it was perfect for this nature, this material.
Mm-hmm. You know? To say how long it is, did you think about that at all in the structure?
Well,
it's how does it...
Again, today's audiences and the venues, they see these films. They see these things. It's all changing. We're in the biggest revolution since... the advent of sound, 1927. Yeah. I just took a chance. I said, you can't make it for anything. You can't make it for this specific venue. This. Yeah. I said, let's make it. It's like a commitment to this picture.
Yeah.
And if you want to see it, it's really spending a lot of time with these people in that world.
Watch, there's a lot of tough guys around here. Did he tell you? You're not afraid of tough guys, are you? I didn't think so.
So we talk about the characters as much as talking about they're real, for one thing.
Yeah.
They really existed, these three.
Which makes it a lot easier.
It does help. Well, unfortunately, our characters were not alive, but it does even help when they're alive.
Yeah.
And you could talk with them and be with them and hang with them.
Your character was famous.
My character was famous.
You had a lot to do.
I had so much footage.
You were listening to his voice a lot?
Yeah,
it was great.
Yeah, it helped. I mean, the idea of research now, the combination of photos and reading and then the real person, you see. Boy, it really makes an impression.
What's so great about the story is that this triangle, these three guys, it's a classic story about loyalty, about brotherhood, and betrayal. But betrayal for a reason that people can understand.
Yeah, you know, necessity.
I mean, it's this crazy relationship when you think of it.
I know.
They sleep in the same room.
Well, you have to. I mean, some bodyguards. Bands. You know, where you going to have them out in the next room? Something happens in the hallway. You're going to have them.
What I was interested in is how Bob was speaking in narration. It's as though I were to talk about how it was when I first got here. It really presented such a reality. It's like this really happened. He's there. In essence, the guy who's narrating is there. It was there.
It was like the army. You followed orders. You did the right thing. You got rewarded.
But as you say, though, you two guys were playing these characters, and as you get closer and closer, you didn't even rehearse, or you know what I'm saying?
Was no.
It basically, something happens that we have to remember. Yes, it's based on real people, but who knows what the story really is?
Right.
What you pick up on is the truth of a relationship. Yeah. All three. Russell is interesting because it was just the opposite way than we normally
see me play.
Yeah,
you told me. Well, you're not going to be like the gangsters you always play.
The old timer spoke to the old man. The old man talked to his son Jack, and he told him, "Don't forget who the fuck he owes."
I had said to him, if I don't play that part, I said, "I'll play Tony Pro." He said, "Nope. I don't want you playing that part."
Yeah. You put him with him.
Right, I understand.
You got Tony, you got to deal with Tony. The reason why he hangs on to his life is because of you at that point. Who knows what really went on? We don't know. This is a version thereof, so to speak. But the truth is in the relationships, and the truth is in the relationships within that world.
Jimmy Hoffa was most popular second to the president.
That's right.
At that time.
Yeah.
We forget that.
And you forget about the unions and what it took to get working guys a decent pay. He just got mad at one point with the whole thing with the Kennedys, and then you do that scene where you say, "He's never gonna forgive me for giving money to Nixon." Oh my God, what have you got yourself into? Any move you make, it's a disaster.
Yeah.
And the character, the way it's played, I'm gonna be fine. And you, but that look, that's, you know he's not gonna be fine.
Remember that scene where I'm asking Bob to knock off Tony Pro?
Oh, hilarious.
You think Russ would do something about this guy?
Yeah, that's complicated.
It's complicated. He says, "But you see, you have to understand, I built this thing. I built this thing. This is pure. This is progress. This is visionary." And he said, "No, I..."
Sorry, he's never going to go for it. He's never going to go for it. He's never going to go for it.
"Look, I'd kill him myself, but I'm too well known."
He says, "I want to clip the motherfucker myself." He says, "But I can't."
Well, it's crazy because they're talking about someone's life and killing someone.
No, it's a matter in a case like that, in that world, it's a matter of elimination.
That's it. He's in the way.
Really in the way.
It's unthinkable.
Oh, yeah, but after that conversation you have with Tony.
I'm done.
Conversation.
Oh, my goodness.
Which doesn't go well.
You let the old guy fight, didn't you?
Yeah, I know. Steven was jumping on him.
Oh, my God.
Tony Pro hated him.
I know. The real Tony Pro hated Jimmy Hoffa.
Why did he hate you? He wanted to kill you a million times himself.
They started out as kind of together. Yeah. And then it just split. I mean, power.
It was power.
And Tony, what? He has the power of the mob behind him.
Yeah.
Well, you got the union. You created that union.
That's right. That's
who's this guy to come in? Why? Because he's a gangster?
Poor Jimmy just didn't understand.
I know.
Didn't understand. He had a vision of how things are, and he believed in... I don't think he ever thought that it was going to happen to him.
No, you do it in the... You say, "No, they would never dare."
They wouldn't dare. Wouldn't dare. Jimmy, please, Frank, come on.
Don't say they wouldn't dare.
And then... They have their ways.
Yeah. Then people ask about, well, the disappearance of Hoffa. I don't really know. I mean, this is according to the book. Yeah. Charles Brandt, this might be as good as any. The point is, it disappeared.
That's right.
The theory is that he wound up in a drum somewhere in the East Coast is ridiculous. You know? It's such a simple story. You know?
Well, what's funny is that my character that put him next to you and everything like that, he tried to save you so many times.
Yeah, I know, but you wouldn't listen.
Jimmy didn't even know how many times he tried to save him. He didn't want it, and he knew it was on him eventually, you know. Yeah.
When it comes to him and him, at a certain point, he's got to say, we tried everything we could.
Tried everything.
Yeah.
You just wouldn't listen.
That's the life we're in. He has to go. That's it.
Amazing.
He doesn't even say that. You don't even never say he has to go.
You just look at it. Never say a word. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Tell him what it is.
You're going to have to talk to him and tell him it's what it is.
What it is.
What made you think of the computer and...
Oh, the computer
age
thing.
Things.
What happened was that once we had the script, at a certain point, the scenes, the flashbacks, which almost comprised for Bob like half the picture, would have to have been played by younger actors.
Younger actors, yeah.
So they said, what am I going to be doing? I got to teach, I got to explain everything to them? Here, you don't have to explain. It's about behavior. It's how you sit, how you stand. Mm-hmm. It's how you say hello to somebody. How you digress in a conversation, so to speak. And so we're shooting in Taiwan, and Pablo comes up to me from ILM, and he said, you know, I'm working on this thing of making people younger in the pictures. And I said, yeah, I heard about, I know you're doing in Star Wars, you're doing in all the other effects films.
Yeah.
And he said, well, you know, your whole thing on Irishman, it's the first time this will be done. And I said, wait a minute. I said, this is a good idea. So the only thing is, if I have you guys, anybody in the scenes in this kind of film talking to each other and you have tennis balls on your faces. You know what I mean, Joe? I think that loses.
It's hard to.
Seriously.
You feel it's hard because
it's hard?
Put those things on anybody and told them to make a speech.
Yeah, and they showed me, and it's more like almost like an automaton of some kind. You have a kinds of equipment. I said, the whole thing is they need to see each other and they need to play off each other. I said, I come back when there's no tennis balls. And he came back. He kept coming. He was there anyway. Yeah. But he kept coming back, and he said, I worked out something where the markers would be invisible.
Yeah.
And it would require three lenses on each camera.
That's the other thing. All the cameras.
Remember
we had,
the cameras?
They had to work for 9 million cameras. I mean, we like to use two cameras when we work.
Did two cameras. Imagine.
And then with all the other stuff, it's crazy. And it was all new to me. I mean, he just.
Me too.
They taught. I'm not talking about the dots. I'm talking about working with two cameras and things like that. I was learning so much from you and Bob about all of that. And then he comes in with these things, and he said, well, don't look in the camera. I said, well, which camera? You got 12 cameras out here.
No, there were three lenses on each camera. Which
well, that's
lens?
What it was. Yeah,
he said,
well,
you're looking in
day.
The lens. Well, we're looking.
Yeah. I remember
we had four cameras
down the hall
looking at
this. And you said, you look like you're looking all around. I said, well, I don't know where to look. Walking, I don't want to look into any of those
Well,
lenses.
Then I got in there, and I saw your problem. You know, sometimes I say, like, walk across the screen. It's hard.
Yeah, I mean,
to be, you're walking, I said, wait a minute. Am I walking right?
You're walking towards the camera, and you don't want to look at the lens. And
I said, lens? Geez, okay.
Well, it was really something. It was shocking when I saw Joe when I was in Lucas's complex.
In Skywalker?
Yeah, he told me about this.
And then he was showing all these great things in films, all these animated things, and they were amazing. And then he says, I just want to show you a little bit of what we're doing in The Irishman. And on the screen, there's Joe Pesci comes on the screen. And I thought, is that Joe Henry? Is that an old film of Joe's? But it was something in the very essence of the film that just looked like this is something new.
Yeah.
And I wonder how it's going to...
Well, what's the difference between this and that and makeup? Well, okay. I mean, we've accepted certain looks in makeup, like when Dustin Hoffman did Little Big Man. Remember?
Yeah.
We did the old age Dick Smith, and everybody knew that was makeup, but they knew it was Dustin. They knew it was the character.
Yeah.
Then you had like John Hurt in Elephant Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. He's in there somewhere.
Yeah, he's
still doing it. He's in there. So what's the difference ultimately when you could take something and mold it and recreate, well, necessarily not entirely recreate, but use the CGI as makeup.
Yeah, that was the big turning.
Yeah,
that was the thing.
That's the big thing.
Yeah.
That's the big thing. And also these guys, they did it in such a way. Yes, it was a little confusing with the several cameras and the lenses, but once we got past that, once I figured out where you were supposed to look, it's a worthy experiment. Because that's where it's going to go.
You want to be a part of this fight?
Yes, I do, sir.
Would you like to be a part of this history?
Yes, I would. Whatever you need me to do, I'm available.
It was so important to have him.
Scorsese.
At different ages say, you know, you have to stand straighter now.
Oh, God, yeah.
For this section. You have to talk a little faster, a little higher. You know, you were talking different in those days. And then when you get older, you slow down.
I know, and that's the weird thing.
So it's all these things.
Yeah.
My man, and him too, always up my ass about something.
Well, he don't, The first day of shooting with Al, now, here's Al, and we never crossed paths, we never worked on a film together, and here we are going to work on a film together. So first day of shooting with him, and he's playing Hoffa, and he's watching the Kennedys win the election, and he hates them. These goddamn Kennedys, this sort of thing. And he gets up from the TV, his family's there.
Jimmy, the kid.
Hey, man, all the bullshit problems he's put me through.
Jimmy.
Already? I gotta go. You don't expect me to look at this.
No, I don't, Jimmy.
And I, you know, it's the first time working with him. So he gets up, and it was good. The dialogue was good. It was like, I'm getting out of the room. Bang. He walks out. And I said, good, great, let's do that one more time. And he does it again. And then I notice Rodrigo and David Webb come up to me come up and they say, he's supposed to be 49 in this. I said, does? What's wrong? He said, it's slow. He's getting up slowly. I said, you tell him. No, you have to tell him. You have to tell him. I'm just working with the guy's first day, first shot.
Wow. Yeah.
So I went over and I said, you know, Al, he's got to be 49 in this. And he said, well, you're getting up from the chair. It's got to have more.
Scorsese grins and chops the air.
You know what I mean? You're going to go into that kitchen. You're not going to stay in that room, right?
I was doing 51.
Yeah, the next day he yelled, 52, 65. You know? We finally got. But it was that thing, to be aware of posture, to be aware of straightening everything. Exactly.
No, I was going down the stairs. There's one scene where I walked down the stairs. So I go down two or three steps, and I went down the steps, and Gary came over. You got to be a little more spry about it, a little more, you know. And he said, let me show you, and he did it. And he was right. You know, I had to, skip down the steps, you know, not just the way I would do it.
But what's the difference, though? Yeah, but what's the difference in, like, taking that and saying, okay, you're doing Richard III, you're going to have to move a certain way.
Right.
You follow?
That's right.
It's acting. Your whole body then has to act. It's extraordinary, you know? You really do it, or you do,
See, nobody had
Awakenings.
To tell you when you did Richard III.
No, let's do it again. I'm going to do Richard again.
You did it yourself, see?
If you're trying to put the whole film together in your head, I forget that you have to go through what you go through as actors, you know? I just forget it, and like I expect, can you do that again? Marty, the guy just went to... You know, and then, but in this film, we really had to take that into consideration, especially shooting times and how we utilize. Remember, we had a walking lunch usually to get all our energy within a certain amount of time during the day.
Do anything about that? Say, for instance, we went off a little bit and we're looking like 65 instead of 50.
Yeah.
Can't fix your acting, though.
Yeah.
Pesci hugs Pacino.
We can't fix that. Sorry.
We live in hope.
We can fix the back a little, maybe.
Man, give me a break.
It's got to be something.
I didn't think I had to do this anymore.
The intention was to make it the best it could ever be.
Yeah.
State of the art.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing.
It's like you don't notice it. It's the oddest thing
that's
happened.
That's the thing.
That's what with Joe, when I saw him. Yeah. It's like you didn't notice it. I just said, that's Joe.
Yeah.
You know, they got old footage of him or something?
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see juxtaposed with other images.
Yeah.
Who are the other people who get this done to?
It's basically you three.
Just us.
Yeah.
Just us.
Wow.
There are other people that makeup took care of that. To
That's
a certain extent.
Yeah.
You know, if you see you guys in 1983, you have a certain crew with you.
Yeah.
And maybe one's missing, there's another guy who took his place. He's got his, wife, Joe.
He's very specific about those things, because I remember when we made Raging Bull,
Oy.
In the arena, he stopped shooting and he called everybody and said, there's a guy up in the road that has a watch that is not period.
No, but it was so obvious.
Yeah.
It was so obvious. Well, the thing was that I just know that it'd be right. And at that time, it wasn't digital. You can't go in there.
It's so funny.
You know.
That's what I'm saying. Even with this, I'm sure that even as we changed our ages and people around us, whatever they did, he was on it.
Aside from the power of the film or the way the film is, the art of it, also the very technique. it's going to affect
careers
and other actors.
Absolutely.
And actresses.
Think so.
We'll all be able to act for another 30 years.
Sorry about that, Joel.
I don't think so, Bob. I really don't think
But it's
so.
True.
Frank, don't even think about it. I don't keep my mouth shut.
I know that.
For anyone.
I know that.
I know you.
You know that. They don't know that.
That's who I am is what I am, and that's what I'm going to do.
I can only say in my case, as I get older, I can appreciate everybody here at this table a lot more. I mean, you, I can appreciate what you do. These guys took me out of the gutter, basically.
Yeah.
Brought me back. I can appreciate everything a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And I see everything a lot different, too.
That's another reason to go on and work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a lot of ways.
Well, that's what happened on this. That's what happened once we finally settled, and I saw his reaction when you presented the story to me. It was really strong and emotional. I said, well, that's where we've got to tap in. We have to go. Yeah. Then that's real. I could get onto that, and we could do something. And where the hell is it going to take us? I'm not sure, I said, but I think I know. I think I... And it was, it's a matter of aging. I don't know. People may disagree when they see the movie, but you see things differently.
Do you think you've gotten better over the years, too, Marty, at doing it? At your job? Not that you've gotten better.
Yeah. No, but I know what you're saying.
That's a matter of...
I think what happened is that I began to realize that I've done a lot of things over the years, and I had a certain energy and a certain way of thinking and editing and designing edited sequences and that sort of thing into play. Like Raging Bull, you really have it, where the dialogue scenes are set and all the other action scenes are cameras flying everywhere. And I kind of did it. I did it.
It was almost like everything was a documentary-style filmmaking, which I really like that you do.
Yeah.
But besides that, you leave this whole feeling through the movie. You get this feel. You did it from Mean Streets.
Yeah.
I saw it years later, and I watched the whole movie, and I said, wow, it's the feeling of the neighborhood and the characters and the whole thing that he does so well. He's done it in every one of his fucking movies. So he's got to know what he's doing. That's why I said to you, do you feel like you've gotten better at that?
No, I think it's distilled now. It's distilled, and it's a medium shot. It's a close-up.
Jeez, it's amazing to me.
That's it. I mean, the point is that you really get to the point. It's a funny thing. When you're faced with how to do a narrative bit in a film, I find I don't really know. I find you learn everything again. Mm. Every picture, almost every setup, you learn again. That's it. You know, you're going into a battlefield, you got to figure it out, and you're the guy you're fighting. So
if you feel more confident. You have more confidence.
I'm getting more in terms of, like, we really blasted out, like, in Hugo in 3D and everything. We really had a great time. By this point, it was a matter of the essentials, I thought. The essentials are the characters.
Yeah,
in this
same
piece
thing.
And that world. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're sitting in this booth or you're in the car. These guys, they could be anywhere doing this stuff. So there's an anonymity around them. There. But they're the force that drives. It's like a tragic force. You know, it's a very, I had to find a way not to get in the way of that.
Yeah.
You know, some may disagree when they see the film, but that's what I did. Yeah. And ultimately, every movie you make, it's a learning experience again.
Sure. Audio description provided by International Digital Center. Written by Liz Gutman. Voiced by Tony Gannon. Copyright 2019 Netflix Studios, LLC. All rights reserved.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.